Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in today's gospel reading, we hear about a day in the life of Jesus, and we're introduced to two people who came to Jesus that day having one thing in common. They had both found themselves with a problem that they could not solve. One of the two was a woman whose name we don't know, but whose difficulties we do know. We're told that for 12 years she'd been suffering from a bleeding problem. During those 12 years, she'd spent all that she had on physicians who tried to help, but in the end, that hadn't been any help. In fact, her condition had continued to grow worse. She had done all she could, and yet she found herself still with a problem that she could not solve. The other person who we see coming to Jesus that day is a man named Jairus. Unlike the woman, Jairus' problem seems to have come about more suddenly. But while his problem was more recent, it was also even more serious. His daughter had fallen ill, and her condition was serious enough that Jairus was very concerned that she might die. As the day went on, we see that those concerns were justified. As a messenger came from his home to give Jairus the sad news that his beloved daughter had died. As a loving father, Jairus would have done anything that he could to help his daughter. But here, there was no escaping the sad reality that there are some problems that we cannot solve, no matter how much we might wish we could. So these two, the woman and Jairus, each started out that day having a problem that they were powerless to solve. But we see in our gospel reading that these two also had something else in common. When things were looking hopeless and they were feeling helpless, they both looked to the Lord for help. They both looked to Jesus in faith. The woman had heard of others whom Jesus had healed, and she believed that he could and would do the same for her. And so that day, as Jesus walked with a crowd of people all around him, she approached him from behind, reached out, and touched just the hem of Jesus' garment, saying to herself, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." Like the woman, Jairus too set out that day looking to Jesus for help, believing from what he had heard about Jesus that he could trust in his mercy, in his might, in his power, and his compassion. So he came to Jesus and said to him, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And while that was in itself a remarkable expression of faith, what's even more remarkable is that Jairus' hope and trust in Jesus did not end, even when he learned that his daughter had died. When the messenger arrived with news of the young girl's passing, Jesus said to Jairus, "Do not fear, only believe." And so, believing Jesus, taking him at his word, Jairus brought Jesus to his home, believing that he could still help his daughter. So these two, the woman and Jairus, both started out that day with problems that they knew they were powerless to solve. And they both came to Jesus, believing that he could do what they couldn't. And in what then happened that day, we see that these two people also had one more thing in common. As they both found that day that their trust in Jesus had not been misplaced. Upon touching Jesus' garment, the woman's bleeding stopped, The same bleeding that 12 years of treatment had not been able to help. And upon the word of Jesus, Jairus' daughter, who had died, was restored to life. He said to her, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And she arose to new life. The problems that they could not solve were solved by Jesus. So, what do the events of that day mean for us here today? Well, in the events of that day, Jesus is showing himself to be the helper of the helpless, the one who we can turn to when it seems that there is nowhere left to turn. He is showing himself to be our rescuer, our deliverer, our savior. And that is vitally important for us to know because, like Jairus and the woman who went to Jesus that day, we too all have problems that we cannot solve. Much like the woman who came to Jesus, we face very real physical difficulties in this life. And like Jairus and his daughter, we are all confronted with the reality of death, both for those we love and also for ourselves. And as it was for the woman, and as it was for Jairus and his daughter, for us too, the ultimate answer to all these problems that we cannot solve, the ultimate answer to all these problems is Jesus. But to understand how he is the answer to these problems for us, we need to first consider how Jesus is the answer to another problem that we all have, another problem that we are all powerless to solve. And that is the problem of our sin. Sin can be thought of as a spiritual sickness, the sickness that we are all born with and that we cannot heal ourselves of. The main complication of this sickness or disorder is lovelessness, including both a failure to love God with our whole heart and a failure to love our neighbors as ourselves. And so the symptoms of this spiritual sickness include things like taking the Lord and his blessings for granted, taking the people in our lives for granted, putting ourselves ahead of others, saying thoughtless words that needlessly hurt others, caring more about what we desire than about what's right, and so much more. And this sickness that we all have is fatal, leading not only to physical death, but also, if it goes untreated, resulting in the spiritual death of being eternally separated from God in hell. And making matters even worse, there is nothing that we can do to heal ourselves of this illness. We might try, we may be thinking that if we just try hard enough, we can somehow rid ourselves of our sin. Or maybe thinking that we can cancel out our sins if we just do enough good works. But much like the woman whose bleeding only got worse until she came to Jesus for healing, our spiritual condition only gets worse until we look to Jesus for the healing that only he can give us for our sin. Because the consequences of sin are so serious and are eternal, and because we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition, it is this sickness that Jesus came to save us from, as the reason that Christ came into the world was specifically to save us from our sins. And how did he accomplish that salvation? In the words of Isaiah 53, he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. and by his wounds we are healed. Christ took all our sins upon himself and bore all those sins to the cross, so that by his suffering and dying for those sins, by his wounds, we would be healed. And we now receive that healing simply through faith in him, so that all who believe in him do receive the forgiveness of sins in his name. Much like the woman and Jairus came to Jesus trusting not in themselves, but only trusting in Jesus and his mercy, we come to Jesus knowing that we have nothing to contribute when it comes to solving the problem of our sin, but trusting that in his mercy, Jesus has solved this problem for us. And just like the woman and Jairus experienced that day, we too do find that our trust in Jesus is not misplaced, as we do receive the healing that we seek in him. So, because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, we do have full healing for all of our sins through faith in him. And that is great news. But that still leaves a question. What does this have to do with those other problems that we can't solve? Problems like illness and death. Problems like those that the woman and Jairus came to Jesus for that day. What does this have to do with those kinds of problems? Everything. In saving us from our sin, Jesus also saves us from the wages of sin, which is death, so that all who look to Christ for the forgiveness of their sins also receive from him eternal life, the eternal solution to the problem of death. And with the gift of eternal life, we also receive from the Lord the gift of healing for all our diseases. We will begin to experience that relief to the full in heaven, where our souls will live with the Lord free from any physical suffering that we have experienced in this life. And we will experience the full extent of that healing when on the last day, Christ raises us up, incorruptible, imperishable, in glorified bodies, to live with him forever in body and soul, free of disease, free of pain, free of disability. Jesus describes that coming day of resurrection in the 6th chapter of John, where he says, "This is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." And we're told what that life will be like after the resurrection in the 21st chapter of Revelation, where we are assured there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. So, by giving himself into death for our sins on the cross, Jesus actually saved us not only from our sins, but also from death, and ultimately from every affliction that we experience in this life. And all of that is ours and will be ours forever, simply through faith in Jesus and what he has done for us on the cross. That's what Jesus was beginning to give us a glimpse of that day in Galilee, when a woman afflicted by a bleeding problem and a father worried about his daughter came to him for help. Illness and death had come into this world as a consequence of mankind's fall into sin. And by showing that he could undo illness and death, Jesus was revealing himself as the one who would be able to undo all of the damage that our sin had caused. He was revealing himself as the answer to all of the problems that we cannot solve. He was revealing himself as our Savior. So the healings that Jesus gave that day to the woman and to Jairus' daughter were, in essence, a sneak preview of the perfect and permanent healing that he would later win for them and for us on the cross. And in a similar way, any healing that the Lord graciously gives us in this life, whether he does so directly by divine intervention or whether he does so through the gifts of doctors and medicine, any healing that he gives us in this life is also just a small foretaste of the much greater healing and much greater blessings to come. Blessings that he died to win for us, and blessings that we will enjoy to the full and evermore in the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. For all of this, all glory, honor, and praise be to Christ Jesus our Lord, who suffered for us to put an end to our suffering, who died for us to deliver us from death, who was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities, so that by his wounds we would be healed. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.